Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and we're with the men from our Men's Ministry Center. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing good.
All right. Now remember, this week, gentlemen, it's radio, okay? That means we have to speak. We don't just nod our heads. Okay, before we went on the air, we selected a scripture to reflect on this week. And that scripture comes from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. So could I have someone read that for us?
Yes, I'll read. With that shall I come before the Lord, and bow down before exalted God. Shall I become before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen. Thank you. All right, what jumps out at you?
Well, he mentioned mercy, mm-hmm. and that's one thing. He's a merciful God. Mm. Compared to other religions, other gods are not really merciful.
Right.
And I just noticed here in the Bible, he delights in mercy. One tends to forget that. So it's one thing we have to look at God, and you know, he's a God of love, but also mercy. He shall show mercy unto you.
And here, that's something we should be doing too, right? Mm-hmm. Showing mercy. We should love mercy or love kindness. Chesed, I think it's in the Hebrew, right? We're supposed to be image bearers. We're supposed to look a lot like God. Right? So if it's something God's practicing, we might want to practice that too. All right, anybody else? What was your first thought? What jumped out?
Also by, you know, walking humbly, you know, just diligently and with not expecting anything in return, just doing things out of the kindness of your heart and, you know, on a consistent basis. It's not easy, but it's a requirement. And I feel like the more that we do that, the more that we're at peace with ourselves and others that we have around us, you know, fellowship-wise, it's definitely a positive thing to continue to try to practice that love, mercy as well.
So the word picture in the Hebrew of this, you know, to walk humbly with God, because you know, we all know there are times we can get way out in front of God, right? I mean, you know, you take your young kids for a walk and every once in a while you go, hey, right? Hey, slow down, put you on a leash or something, right? We don't want to get too far out in front of God. We may wander off the path. We also don't want to be, you know, long behind God, you know, dawdling behind God. But to walk humbly means to walk side by side, to walk with, right? Side by side God. Yeah. Well, what do you think about the first two verses there? What can I do? Right, I mean, in a sense, to make my clean my slate with God, right? It's about burnt offerings. Well, how many, right? Thousands of rams, rivers of olive oil, right? Get this, should I give up my firstborn? Because unfortunately, back in the day, you know, child sacrifice was part of some cultures. Right, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Yeah. Have you ever wrestled with what? Right, what could I?
Yeah, you can't delight in the blood of animals because it doesn't take sin away. And so Jesus is the perfect person to take a being faultless. He's the only one who could represent a true ransom. And the animals can't do that. And Moses taught, said in the past, I forget the scripture, but take the sin away. It was a reminder that we were sinners. And the law of Moses.
Yeah,
it was a reminder that we were sinners.
Yeah, the scapegoat, right? They put the blood on the scapegoat, send it out into the wilderness. It's a symbolic gesture, right?
But he cannot divide in that because that doesn't truly take.
No.
So.
All right, anything else?
It's like you're saying you don't know what or how many of that to sacrifice. And it's like the reluctance because of what you've done wrong. I mean, is it really that bad? You have to get rid of half your flock, you know? Or is it just your, you know, maybe there's a mouse hanging around, you know? Just, you know? Here, I'll sacrifice the mouse for a little.
A little white lie. Here's my mouse.
Right. Yeah, it just, I don't know, I think it's... You know, it's a little extreme explanation there, but it seems like that way in real life, though. It just, you're forgiven, you know, but then, it's just like you feel like you need to, you gotta read more scripture and that's gonna help you be forgiven. You know, someone's going to turn the light on and help me with the paraphrasing, it's just a big question mark maybe sometimes, you know, what exactly do I need to do? Just sacrifice and get closer, you know.
Which brings up, to some degree, shame on us when grace isn't enough. That's why, remember when we were studying Brennan Manning's Ragamuffin? We talked about sometimes we pretend to believe so we can pretend we're sinners type stuff because we don't really take grace that seriously. We think we still have to do something to even the score, you know, level the playing field and all those type of things. It's just, you just can't really out of love just give me that. Right? I mean, because how do we really practice that? So it is intentionally exaggerated, you know, that there's really nothing, you know, that's going to, what do you want to say, please God or appease God, except for us kind of imaging God. God does justice. God shows mercy, right? And God, we would say, walks humbly with us. That's it. That's all I'm asking. That's all you got to do, right? You don't have to build me an altar. Yeah, or cathedral or anything like that. You don't have to pretend like you never had any sin. Right? But I think to do justice, to practice justice, is really to practice the will of God. Because the will of God is just.
Yeah, I think that's true because Jesus told the Pharisees, I think it was in Matthew, that somewhere around chapter 24 Matthew, you give 10 to the mint. And what else did they give, Steve? Just the mint and, of course, some kind of harvest of grain or something like that. But you have forgotten the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. Just Jesus put it straight to them.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I mean, if I'm really going to accept the grace that God offers to me, one, that should really humble me. And then really out of gratitude, that sense of humility is let me walk with you. And if I'm going to walk side by side with God, then I'm going to probably start observing some of the things that God's doing that reflects God's will. And we'll call that justice. So I'm going to learn how to do justice. And I'm also walking side by side with God. I'm going to see God come across, some other ragamuffins. Who's Jesus falling off their cracker, kind of like us, and he starts practicing mercy with them. And he says, that's all there is to it. Go out there, practice my will, justice, love mercy. I think, you know, that whole love and mercy, not just loving to give mercy, we all like to kind of get that good feeling, you know, for letting somebody off the hook, so to speak. Right? But it's really, you know, accepting the mercy of God, accepting the grace of God. That's part of practicing mercy, right? Yeah, I think what's interesting by Micah, I mean, he puts justice and mercy in the same sentence, right? And realistically, those two combined is what we call compassion, right? Kam means with, pathos, right? We translate it as passion or suffering, to suffer with, right? To come alongside and suffer with. So, you know, if you're going through something and I just said, well, you know, peace be with you, and I don't do anything, right? That's what James says. Then my faith is dead. No, I need to come alongside of you and whatever you're going through and suffer with you. Because mercy without justice is folly. Right? We become a doormat. Everybody walks all over us. Right? Justice without mercy is tyranny. Right? Dictators, tyrants, right? Because there's no mercy. And I don't think either one of those are the picture of what God's talking about. Right? So practicing the way of compassion, right, the way of justice and mercy, is precisely what aligns me to be side by side with God and to walk humbly. But I agree with you. I don't think we can really do that if we haven't accepted it. You know, I think the first couple verses where they're talking about what can I do to even the playing field with God and all my sin, my shortcomings and everything like that. Because I know God is a God of justice. But that's not going to work. You know how many rams I kill. But God is also a God of mercy. So therefore, God, right? Compassion in Hebrew literally means to be womb-like. It's just, it's where the center of life is. And God just gives it away. All right. Got a couple minutes. Any closing thoughts? Do you have anything you want to chip in with?
No, I just think that's where we can get nearest hope. Well, compassion, hope, I think you said it all and summed it up. You know, I mean, you know, it's you know, and that's the one mercy. I mean, you know, the whole part, like you said, you know, when something's down in their dumps, you know, I mean, showing them that there is a positive way.
Well, again, I mean, you're right. I mean, we do practice compassion in our neighbor's hope. And sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is say no.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I respect you a whole lot better. Look, I respect you enough not to believe your lie. Because that's what you're asking me to do. And if I'm going to do that, then I'm disrespecting you. Are you sure that's what you want from me? So there are times like, no, I love you enough to stand up and go, no, you can't do that. No, you're going the wrong way, Smalls. Did you ever watch Sandlot?
Mm-hmm.
Smalls, you missed third base. Yeah, you just start running into the outfield and we lose our direction.
It's really good to put into practice here. You know, I mean, like you said, you know, I mean, what do I got to do? I do more, do this, do that, type off the wall. Well, yes, in some cases, no, in some cases. You know, I guess it's how consistent. You know, one thing we have to remember, we're at the Lord's Supper. Second thing we remember, Jesus is going to walk beside you. Remember, we leave him, he don't leave us. And I had to take that concept because I needed him to walk. And yet, I think we have to learn to give him control. Control, you can't just, well, I'm going to give him a little bit, and I'm going to do the rest. You can't do
I mean, Jesus said, I want all of it. Right? Yeah.
Well, very good. It's unconditional, man.
Well, very good, gentlemen. Thank you for joining on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.